The Volume.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand, which means you can get all your favorite sports, movies, and shows together. So you can watch new episodes of your favorite reality shows live or binge old episodes on demand. Either way, get ready for some drama. And the best part? DirecTV Stream has no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders. They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume. Presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
All right, we are back again on another Monday, baby. We got the Monday reaction show after another very interesting weekend of college football. We're on Twitter Live now for the first time, so shout out our audience that's watching on Twitter. But as usual, shout out to the Booster Club. If you don't know what the Booster Club is the live chat we have on YouTube. We go live every weekday, 3 to 4 Eastern. Hop in there. Look, a lot of rumors floating around. It's been the greatest grassroots movement since jazz, democracy, the Renaissance. There's a lot of different, you know, areas we can look at, but the Booster Club is growing like a weed. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube as well. Follow us on Twitter at the J-Boy Show and Instagram if you're watching us on Twitter, and tell a friend. Got an unbelievable show for you today. We're going to start off talking about Dan Mullen. Obviously, that's been the news of the weekend, being let go at Florida. Going to talk about which job is better, LSU or Florida. But Scott Strickland, his hand was forced, and there's a guy that people are throwing their name in, they're throwing his name in the mix for Florida that I don't see him getting hired. We have Chris Doering, former standout, walk on to scholarship to All-American to NFL, now on the SEC Network. He's talking about if he thinks the decision was right. Some names to watch, including one within the SEC, and his last name is a very familiar name, but his first name's not Bob. I'll let you dive into that before we get there. We're going to give our five stars of the weekend as well. We're going to get Justin Hokanson. We're talking Auburn. You're hearing the Harsin to Washington rumors. Is it just smoke? Is there actually some legitimacy to it? And what the hell's happened to Auburn? They've fallen off a cliff. I know Bo Nix got hurt, but again, another lackluster performance at South Carolina, 2 years in a row that they've lost. We're going to talk with him, and then we're going to give you our weekend reactions, play a little over under reaction, and give you our picks. Last week, great job, gentlemen, 28-15 overall. The numbers just they keep moving up. We're at 61% right now. Cohn leading the way at 11-4. You were really the Sacagawea of the situation last weekend, leading us to the promised land. Where's the river? Where's the pond? Where the mountain lines at? You navigated
big
us through. Hey,
big week for you now. Yeah. That was
you
good.
Basically,
big week for you. This is the biggest.
You
week.
Were like the hunchback off 300 that showed us the goat path.
Thank you
know,
you.
To
that's,
be able to get through the hot gates.
It's kind of like, oh,
Theseasticles.
Said the backhanded compliment.
His name
like,
well,
I like
no,
your
I'm
dress,
not, listen, I'm not saying
you can, you can go with that. Or
hey,
you go with
hey,
when
he, after when he two came. Weeks in the red, I'll take whatever I can get,
absolutely.
Buddy, okay?
For sure.
Okay? You're 11-4. You
got
to
love
Butler,
it. And you're kicking people into endless wells.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
this is madness.
I've
this is Cohn.
I've seen
this
that
is Cohn, the leather-bound book. But listen, adversity, it reveals character.
You're right.
It doesn't build it. It reveals it. And you've shown yours. You're a soldier.
You're a legend. You know that?
Well, listen, I like gassing you up, especially
great.
When you do well. But speaking of people that we thought may have a chance to be legendary, but ended up not being. Dan Mullen was let go at Florida after what has been an absolute spiral session downward this year, coming off a year where you represented the East in the SEC Championship, played Bama about as well as anybody's played them, and it got to a point, and there's... You know, there are certain levels that you get to, especially when you've had some success, like Dan Mullen has had. For you to be fired after 1 year, it's either one of two things. Either you did something off the field that they had to fire you for, or it was so bad on the field with the rest of the landscape around you, and you look at the trajectory of Georgia and the recruiting. You look at the trajectory of Tennessee. Hell, look at the trajectory of South Carolina with Shane Beamer right now, and Missouri with Drink. All it's going to do is take 1 year if they can figure it out on the defensive side of the ball and continue to be able to put points on the board to where you're going downhill in a league that a lot of people are pushing uphill, and you can't afford to go down any further. And Scott Strickland got pushed to the point where either you keep nosediving or you hit the eject button. And his hand was forced, and he had to hit the eject button. And we're going to talk with Chris Doering about whether it was the right decision, and I keep going back to it, and I look at the landscape because there's multiple circumstances that lead to a decision like this, and it has to line up, and it has. And if you're Scott Strickland, I don't know how you couldn't fire him with everything that's going on. You go out, you get blown out by South Carolina. You give up half a 100 to Samford. You're dancing in the locker room like you just won the championship, and then you go out and lose to a Missouri team that's been awful this year. And then you're about to play Florida State, and there's a question whether you're going to be bowl eligible or not at Florida. It's unacceptable, and it was the right move. And we talked all last week that if you're an AD and you look at the whole periphery of college football, USC's open, LSU's open, Miami looks like it's about to be open, Washington's open. There's more jobs that are popping up every single day as that signing period got moved up to December. You are now entering an area where there's a ton of demand for elite head coaches, but the supply's just not there. And a lot of people are going to throw out the Lane Kiffin to Florida name. We talk about this with Doering. We talk about this with David Waters that we're going to drop later on in the week. Scott Strickland, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of people close to the program, does not want to hire Lane Kiffin. He doesn't want to hire him. And I understand that the first name that a lot of people grab is Lane Kiffin, but there's some ADs, regardless, that it would take a whole hell of a lot for them to have to hire that guy. And I don't see it, and I'm not alone. You've heard Billy Napier, a name that has been thrown around early in this Florida search, and typically the first name you hear isn't the guy that gets the job. But you look at the supply out there, and you say, okay, well, you know LSU's going to get a good one, and LSU and Florida are both top 10 jobs in the country. But you may have to take a chance on a guy like Billy Napier. You may have to take a chance on a guy that may not be the biggest flash, the sexiest name there is. And a name you're starting to see pop up under the radar, and I don't want to jump the gun too much before this interview, is Mark Stoops. It's not Bob Stoops. And everybody keeps throwing out Bob Stoops' name, and he was a hell of a coach. But do we not forget the problems with the love of recruiting that Bob Stoops had? It's amazing how quickly people forget that. And if you're looking for a qualification right now, and it's always been like this in college football, but especially right now, at a place like Florida, when you're having to fight off the juggernaut that is Georgia right now, and you look around the rest of the East, let alone the West, and who knows what's going to happen with Oklahoma and Texas being added. Are they going to go to pods? Are they going to keep it divisional? Are they going to go to it like the SEC does in college basketball with the rotation, which in my opinion is the best way to do it? You've got to get a guy that can come in and is in love with recruiting. Not just a good recruiter, or not understanding, well, we have to recruit. He's in love with it. You want to know why? Because the guys you are going up against, the Kirby Smarts, the Josh Heupels, the Jimbo Fishers, they love it. They love doing it. And it's 24/7. You have to fall in love with recruiting, because we talk about the three pillars on this show all the time, right, of a successful program. Recruiting, development, and culture. Well, it sure as hell is hard to get to development and culture when you don't have the players to do it.
Yep.
So when you look at this job and you look at the decision Scott Strickland had to make, he was caught in between a rock and a hard place, and the decision was forced on him by what was going on the field. There wasn't some huge off-the-field problem with Dan Mullen, other than Dan Mullen not exactly being a media darling, not exactly being the guy next door that'll come over and mow your lawn without asking. That's not Dan Mullen. He's a little quirky. He's a little bit different, but they were winning. And when that happens, you can be that way. But when you lose, and you lose the way that they lost, because this has been a spiral downward of epic proportions for Florida. Who would have thought coming into the season? Now, I had them finishing fourth in the East
and correct.
Caught all type of hell for that, mm-hmm. and I didn't have them finishing low enough, apparently. Mm. But who would have thought that outside of some crazy off-the-field situation that Florida would have to be replacing a coach? We knew that Ed O was in a little bit of hot water because how bad they were last year and how bad the hires were and the stuff that he came out and said and the off-the-field stuff that went along with it. But this one came out of left field. That's how bad of a season that Florida had. And we're going to have this debate on what's a better job, Florida or LSU. And there is logical and rational thoughts on both sides. But before we dive into that, before we Greg Louganis our way into that, last three head coaches at LSU won a natty. Last three head coaches at Florida got fired. You look at the state of Louisiana, there is no Miami. There is no Florida State. It's LSU and the Saints. LSU's not getting spurned by McNeese State or Tulane. And we know Louisiana per capita is one of the best states in the country of producing talent.
Fruitful.
Now, on the other hand, Florida is right up there. Florida is right up there. I mean, hell, they share the panhandle. You can make a living just on the panhandle, let alone getting down into the middle of Florida, into South Florida, Pahokee, the Muck, that type area. And you can win a national championship and you can flip Florida like that. I'm not saying that. But when you're looking at these two jobs, which one is better? You are splitting hairs. You are looking at the minutia of two situations. And right now, I think in the landscape of everything, with the state of Florida up for grabs, and you can make the argument that Florida may be a little more appealing because the state is up for grabs. But in Louisiana, the state's never up for grabs and never will be up for grabs. So it's splitting hairs. It's close. But right now, you've got to lean toward LSU being a little bit better of a job, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Cote, so.
Am I crazy there?
No. I think you're right. I think that in terms of Louisiana versus Florida, I mean, I don't know. Florida, the state of Florida may have the best high school talent in the country. I mean, you know, putting up against Texas, Ohio, California, all of them. But you are having to split it between three different schools. Usually all three of those schools are dominant, right? You know, and so the fact that you – I mean, LSU is right up there in terms of high school talent, and they don't have to share with anybody. No one's going straight from high school to the Saints, okay?
Yeah,
and that's the only
true.
Problem that they would have. Now, what about Florida being in the East, though, okay? Does that make it a little bit more appealing that you get the SEC love when it comes to recruiting but not have to go through the West gauntlet? Or does Kirby being at Georgia just make it a moot point?
Well, I think Georgia's pushed themselves so far ahead in the pecking order of the college football elite, and their roster is so deep. Because, look, at Florida, they're not trying to finish second in the East. Like, Florida hates Georgia as much as anybody.
Yep.
And Florida, the standard at Florida should not be second in the East. But when you're looking at it, in my opinion, would I rather be in the East or the West? I would much rather be in the East. But I'm telling you guys, it's not just about Georgia. Mm-hmm. If Tennessee can keep Heupel there and the NCAA stuff, you know, doesn't come down and hammer them, that's a place that you could flip, and that's scary. Shane Beamer at South Carolina, I'm just telling you guys, he's going to take a roster that is a 3-4-win roster and flip it into a bowl team that beat Auburn and Florida, and it's not going to be a cakewalk for Clemson, I promise you that. Mm-hmm. And if he beats Clemson, I know Kirby's going to win Coach of the Year, and he should, but Shane Beamer's name has got to be in there. And you talk about recruiting momentum. Look, that guy can recruit his hair off, man. I'm just telling you. The guy's an unbelievable recruiter. He gets it. He's recruited the Midwest. He's recruited the West Coast. He's recruited the East Coast. He's recruited the Northeast. Being in the East is easier right now, in my opinion. But you look 3, 4, 5 years down the road, what's going to happen with Oklahoma, Texas? And is there even going to be an East in 2 or 3 years?
That's what I was going to say. The East right now would be okay, but the East in 3 to 4 years is an extremely scary
but again,
side of the conference.
If it's pods, you throw it all out the window.
You throw it all out. And I think a lot of it has to do with LSU and Florida's relevancy. You know, LSU's been extremely relevant, especially in the national championship realm lately. And you look at Florida, I believe Florida has 100 more SEC conference champions than anybody in the SEC. And Florida, you go back to those Urban Meyer days, it was Florida, and it was everything about Florida.
It was Florida in football and basketball.
It wasn't even close. And when you look at Florida and LSU, who is better, that's just such splitting hairs.
But
I would say LSU right now, because you really don't have another in-state school that you're scared of, and just the relevancy in the national championship. LSU's been there. You just said the last three coaches.
Yeah, but when you say relevancy, does that make Florida even more appealing? Because like we've talked about before, you're coming into a situation where you could either, like you just said, okay, you just got hired at LSU. the last three coaches have won national titles. That's sort of the bottom. Or you could go over to Florida where the last three coaches have been fired and you're sort of bringing a program back to the Urban Meyer days, right? Does that make it more appealing? I'm not saying that that makes it a better job than LSU. I think LSU is a better job right now. But in terms of going and getting someone, okay, that top talent that you want to come be the head coach, does that make Florida more appealing?
Yeah. And again, I don't want us to act like Florida hasn't won anything the past 3 or 4 years. They were in, I'm not saying you were, hold on. They were in the SEC championship game last year. But using the, hey, we haven't been relevant for a while, you can be the guy to bring us back to relevancy, I could say the same thing about LSU, even though it hasn't been that long. The last 2 years have been a huge letdown. You let LSU fans sip it from the cup in 2019. You got them drunk on the good stuff and then fell down the stairs the next 2 years. So the next guy that can come back to LSU can say, hey, listen, guys, I'm about to resurrect us back to where we were in 2019. And we cannot forget, the college, the way you can flip a program with the cachet of an LSU or a Florida is a lot, even now, is even easier because of the transfer portal. Yep. And it's not having to bring guys from one side of the country into your conference. You can stay in the same division, and you hire a sexy name at Florida or a splash hire that gets everybody excited, you will see big-time transfers go to Florida. Because while the head coach may not be there or the guy that was there before, the brand name lives on. That Florida logo has a lot of cachet because I know they haven't won a national championship in a while, but high school kids even now know who Tim Tebow is.
Oh, yeah.
High school kids even now know that Cam Newton went to Florida and transferred from Auburn. They know that Florida can be legit. It's just you got to get the right guy in there who's in love with recruiting. So, again, when we're comparing these jobs, we have to make sure that we understand that both are elite jobs. You can flip both very quickly, and we're splitting hairs down to the minute details of what separates one from the other. And we're going to get Chris Doring in here in a second. Blaine, what's the Booster Club saying?
All right, we got a question here from Grant Brown, hashtag AskJBoy, and he says, why would Ricks, and Eli Ricks, I believe he's talking to the DB from LSU that just entered the transfer portal, not just declare for the draft instead of transferring?
Well, he's smart because, again, why would I go ahead? You can send your name in and send your tape in and get results back on where you could possibly be drafted. You can have an idea of that and not sign with an agent. What I think Eli Ricks is saying is if I send my grade in and I don't like it or it's not as high as I want and I want to come back to college, I want to go to a college that's different than LSU. So he's setting himself up for a fallback plan on being able to transfer somewhere else. And look, let's not act like it's not going to come down to probably Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State if he does decide to come back. But just because he entered his name in the transfer portal doesn't mean he won't declare to go pro. He's just covering all his bases, which means he's getting good information from smart people, and it's a CYA move. It's a fallback. If I don't like my grade and I want to return to college, I want to go somewhere else other than LSU. So it's a smart move, and he won't be the only one, in my opinion, that does it.
Love it. Got a question here from Kyle Kennedy. Assuming Diaz, Manny Diaz, gets the boot from Miami, what do you think happens to OC Rhett Lashley? Does he get a head coaching job at a smaller school, or does he be the OC somewhere else?
You know, if I'm Rhett Lashley, Troy just opened up. That job is very interesting to me. I think Rhett Lashley needs to go be a head coach at a G5, whether it's in the Sun Belt, somewhere like that. Because, look, Rhett is a smart guy in this business. All right, and it happens sometimes the head coach you're working for is fired. You lose De'Eric King beginning of the year. Bama has a habit of breaking ACC teams the first game of the season anyways. But to me, if I'm Rhett, I'm going to try and go get a G5 head job somewhere and work my way up the head coaching ranks a little bit. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up anywhere as an OC. A lot of people respect Rhett. He won't have a problem finding a job. But I think it's time, if he can, to really try and get one of those G5 jobs and see how high he can go as a head coach. Now, look, I'm telling you guys right now, and the more I hear about it, if Manny Diaz is let go, I think Lane Kiffin's the front runner for Miami. I've talked to multiple Ole Miss sources that agree. We talked to Andy Slater, guys down there in South Florida that feel like, you know, if they're able to scrape up enough to get Lane, which I think they will, because remember the Ole Miss buyout, what's it, $4.5 million?
Yeah, it's
somewhere around there. It's nothing
gettable.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's nothing crazy.
So, hey, speaking about Kiffin and Rhett Lashley, both fans of the show.
Both fans of the show. Both guys we've had on the show.
True fans of the show.
For sure.
True.
For sure.
We got a question here from Dakota Faulkner. What's up, Dakota? He says, hashtag AskJBoy, would Lane Kiffin have a greater first year with LSU or Florida given the current rosters?
That's a good question.
Given the current rosters?
And I guess take the transfer portal into account, right?
See, it's hard for me to answer that without knowing who all is leaving because it's still so early with Mullen. I still think LSU.
Really?
I still think LSU.
Gotcha.
I do. You know, at the end of the day, both again, and it's splitting hairs. It's really tough to decide one or the other. But LSU, to me, I think you can get talent quicker than you can at Florida. I think so.
Gotcha.
Right now. I really believe that. One more, Blaine, and we'll get to Chris Doring.
All right, we got a question here from Superior Thruster. What's
Ooh,
up, Superior?
Wow. That's what they called me in high school.
Hashtag Ask Jboy. That's a layup. Chances on Will Muschamp coming to Auburn as the DC.
Look, Champ's name, they've said, hire Champ as DC at Florida again, whoever they bring in. It's just funny watching this laundry cycle just go and go and go. Look, will Auburn fire Derek Mason after 1 year? I'd be shocked. But if they did, look, Will Muschamp's as good as a candidate as anybody. I'm just wondering when somebody's going to go get Zach Arnett from Mississippi State. When Zach, he's the
or
most.
Dan Lanning.
He's the most. Dan Lanning isn't leaving Georgia as the DC to go to be Auburn. Go to
maybe,
be Auburn's DC.
I mean, if you're Auburn right now, I'd be worried about my head coach right now. I mean,
yeah, we're
going to
talk
there,
about
yeah.
that with Hokanson, but but look, I mean, if they did let Derek Mason go, Muschamp would be as good of a candidate as anybody. He's a hell of a DC. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever made the argument that Will Muschamp's not a good DC. It's been the head coaching rank. So, I mean, I'd give him as good as a chance as anybody. You know, he went over there to Georgia, and then the stuff happened with Scott Cochran. He got elevated to a full-time guy. We'll see. Look, these guys, it's just how long does he want to be a DC, you know, and go through the rat race of it? That's the question. Yep. But he'd be as good as a candidate as anybody. But, hey, let's get Chris Doring in here, talk a little bit about this Florida job.
All right. A second here.
Do your thing. All right, everybody, excited to welcome in former Florida standout, hell of an NFL player, hell of a player in general. You can catch him on the SEC Network, and what a better guy to bring in with the Dan Mullen news at Florida than a former standout Florida wide receiver, Chris Doring. CD, what's up, man?
Jake, how you doing, bro? Good to be back with you. Unfortunately, I wish it was under some different circumstances for my alma mater. I mean, this thing is beginning to be quite the cycle every 4 years. Seems yeah. like almost like the Olympics or something, man.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, being in the White House. You get 4 years and then making a change. But
right.
Look, I'm going to ask you right off the jump, CD. Was this the right decision in your eyes at this moment in time?
I don't know if it was the right decision. I think it was a decision where there was not a whole lot of other options to be made, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by much, Jake, when it comes to college football these days. But the precipitous nature, the decline, the bottom falling out of this thing so rapidly is what really caught me off guard. Because a year ago, we were talking about Florida playing Alabama in the SEC title game better than yeah. anybody else played them the entire season. And here we are, you know, less than a year later with Florida sitting at 5-6, a broken relationship between Dan Mullen and the Athletic Association there, amongst Dan Mullen and the fan base for that matter. So I don't think there was anything else that could have been done, but it's just unfortunate that here we are again looking for a new coach in Gainesville.
Yeah, you know, it almost, and you bring up the point, seems like, you know, Scott Strickland's hand was forced. Because, you know, at one point, you look at the trajectory of Georgia and Tennessee and even South Carolina now after the win over Auburn, and you look at where Florida's going, kind of the downward trajectory, it almost feels like it was a forced hand. Now, you look at the landscape. I talked about this last week. There's going to be a lot of supply for top head coaches at some top jobs, but there's going to be a lot of demand, but is there enough supply out there right now for a place like Florida? Who are some candidates that stand out in your mind right now?
Well, first, Jake, I think you make a great point, because this even further illustrates what Scott Strickland felt like had to be done, because it's not an ideal situation, right? There's
yeah.
a limited pool of coaches out there, none of which to me look like home run, can't miss hires. All of them come with some layer of risk associated. And the existing big hitters, USC, LSU, already in the market for a new head coach, make it one that is going to create a sense of urgency like we may not have seen before. So I do think, you know, in talking about what's next, the qualifications, let's talk about it. Recruiting
yeah.
has to be one of the top things on the list of things that this guy does really well. That was one of the discussions about Dan Mullen and his staff not doing really well, and one of the things I think that expedited the exit of Dan Mullen. I think you also have to have some sort of relationships within the state of Florida. You look at the state of football in the state of Florida, it is really down right now at Florida, Florida State, Miami, primarily because Clemson, Georgia, Alabama all come in and take the top prospects, where that was once unheard of has now become the norm. So you have to have some relationships in the state of Florida. I believe still that you have to be an offensive-minded head coach.
I agree.
Fit is one of the most important things as we talk about in SEC football these days. the fit of Shane Beamer in Columbia, the fit of Sam Pittman in yeah. Fayetteville, those things were natural fits there. I think you have to have the right fit in Gainesville, and that starts with being an offensive-minded head coach as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, there's one guy that has two of those qualifications, CD. Lane Kiffin has a house in Boca. We know he loves the Florida lifestyle, and he's an offensive-minded guy. But I've been told that Scott Strickland's not a huge fan of Lane Kiffin from the people that I know. Do you think there's a chance that we could see Lane Kiffin in Gainesville or a chance to see Hugh Freeze in Gainesville? I don't really see it right now.
Yeah, I think you and I are probably talking to a lot of the same people because I've heard the same thing about Scott Strickland and his weariness of hiring Lane Kiffin. It doesn't seem like a great fit from that standpoint. Obviously, remember, he and Greg Byrne, good friends, the athletic director at Alabama, the exit of Lane Kiffin from Tuscaloosa a few years back probably create a little bit of bad feeling there. So I think that's an issue. I can tell you what, my friends, other fans that I know in this Florida fan base have all been clamoring for Lane Kiffin, all of them comparing him to Coach Spurrier and his innovation on the offensive side and being the guy that's calling the plays and doing it with a passing flair that would certainly appease that desire that Florida fans have for offensive football and scoring points. But I do think, you know, there's another coach within the SEC that I actually think would be a good fit. Doesn't necessarily fit the offensive-minded side, but I think you have to have a great balance between a passion for recruiting, which Kirby Smart does, Nick Saban still does at the age of 70, but you also have to be able to recruit that talent too. And the job that Mark Stoops has done in Lexington is what I think needs to be done in Gainesville. And let's not forget, Mark Stoops was passed up by Florida State a few years back. When they hired Margaret Norvell, it seemed like Mark Stoops would have been a good fit in Tallahassee. That didn't necessarily happen. So I don't know how interested either party would be in having Stoops come to town or Stoops wanting to leave Lexington, but that's an interesting name in my opinion as well.
Yeah, now that's not the, I guess, sexiest splash name out there that Florida fans would go nuts for, but I'm with you, CD. You look at what he's built at Kentucky, and he's built it the right way. You know, you've built it from the inside out like Jimbo's trying to do at A&M right now, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to compete with Alabama and Georgia. They've been the monopoly guys for offensive and defensive linemen, like you mentioned, and then Clemson coming into the state and taking players and the different schools that have been able to come in there and have success, Georgia as well. What I'm wondering, CD, is eventually somebody, in my opinion, is going to get smart and hire Dan Lanning to be the head coach. You look at him, in my opinion, you look at Mike Elko at A&M too, but Dan Lanning's a young guy, an unbelievable recruiter, very passionate. The guys love him, understands, you know, has the blueprint. But would Florida hire a guy from Georgia? Would that work? Would that work?
I don't think the Georgia tie has anything to do with it as much as not having been a head coach before. I think that's the thing that Florida does not have the luxury of taking that chance on. This is a hire you have to hit. If you're Scott Strickland, this is the most important hire of his tenure in Gainesville. Like, there's a lot of Florida fans that are not happy with Scott Strickland at this point in time either. So there's a lot of pressure and urgency for Strickland to make the right hire here too. I don't think you can go that way, unfortunately. I do think Dan Lanning is going to be an incredible head coach, and somebody will take advantage of that opportunity at some point. But I don't think that's one that Florida can necessarily go to at this time.
All right, CD, last question for you. Also, you guys need to check out Pregame in the SEC, him and Hester's show. It's really fascinating stuff. You know, y'all guys are my boys anyway, but I love checking out all the stuff y'all have over there. But, CD, I know you're going to be a little biased because you played at Florida, but I think you do a good job of not being biased. You're one of the few people that do. So I'm going to ask you this straight up. Better job to be a head coach at right now, today, LSU or Florida? The floor is yours, CD.
Yeah, you know, Jake, Peter Burns and I had this very argument off camera today. We had it on camera today as well. I do think that Florida is the better job. And I think Florida's the better job specifically right now, right? Given what's going on in the state of Florida, that there's no real big dog. Florida State, you know, struggling. Miami struggling. This is an opportunity for somebody to go in and take advantage of the rest of the state being down, take advantage of the facilities that are being built. Florida's about to unveil an $80 million plus practice facility and football-only facility that they'll be able to recruit to. So I do believe, even though, you know, the stats that Peter would spout to me are, hey, three different coaches have won national championships there in the last 20 years. But I do think that Florida and the hotbed of recruiting talent that's in that state still makes it a slightly better job, although I think both are probably top five, top seven jobs in the country.
Yeah, it's amazing to see both of them open at the same time and seeing the track that both of them will take, because they are both, you know, elite jobs. I mean, top 10 jobs in the country. CD, you always do such a great job, brother. I appreciate you coming on short notice. Everybody, check out the SEC Network, SEC Football Final. As we get down here toward the end. All right, CD, I know I told you that was the last question. Sorry, I lied. Give me your top four right now.
Okay.
Just right now. Your top four for the playoff right now.
My top four, I put it in as Georgia number one, Alabama two, Ohio State three, although I wouldn't be surprised to see them at the number two spot when the committee releases the rankings this week. And I reluctantly have Cincinnati at four, although I don't necessarily believe their body of work warrants it. I think, and even if they are in the top four, Jake, it's only going to be a matter of time. Oklahoma State, in my opinion, has the best opportunity
yes.
to supplant them with Oklahoma left and Baylor in the Big 12 championship game, presumably. I think that Cincinnati's going to find themselves being disappointed, and this might even hurt worse, dipping their toe in that top four and then only to be passed as the more important rankings come out at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a race. Michigan, Ohio State, going to settle that on the field as well. CD, I appreciate it, my friend.
Always, Jake. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Enjoy a football feast this Thanksgiving Day by winning $150 on a $5 bet when you join FanDuel Sportsbook. New customers, this is your chance to gobble up 30-1 odds. Just place your first bet on any NFL team to win Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to take the Cowboys -7 at home against the Raiders. The Raiders look absolutely dysfunctional right now. Carr's struggling a lot. Cowboys coming off a game which they did not play well offensively against the Chiefs. Dak looked a little out of sorts. I think they bounce back at home, get a big win. I think they win, obviously, by more than 7. I think they win by 10 or more. And look, FanDuel sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. And this offer I'm telling you about is just one of the many reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. They're the number one rated sportsbook app in America. They're easy to use, and most importantly, they're safe and secure. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. That's a pretty cool caveat as well. But sign up with the promo code JBOY, that's J-B-O-Y, to get in on the action and celebrate Thanksgiving by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code JBOY, that's J-B-O-Y, when you sign up exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated office market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789, or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia. Man, Mark Stoops. I think it'd be a good hire, but everybody in Florida would be pissed off.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Why?
Because it's not the cool – look, you know the society we live in. It's not the cool up-and-coming name, you know, young guy firing on all cylinders. Like, Mark Stoops is like the guy that comes in there and is like, what's our credit like? What's the credit score like? Like, you've been good, everything's paid, we're building a program here, you know, this, that, and the other. It's just – it's not the sexiest name that Florida fans would be like, that's the guy that's going to bring us back to Urban Meyer level, even though it's going to be unbelievably hard to achieve what Urban Meyer achieved. And I'm going to get the 5 stars here in the weekend, but I want to get to the Booster Club lane. What are they saying?
All
hit
right,
me with the truth.
Got a question here from Gabriel. It says, Brian Hartline or Luke Fickell to Gainesville?
Say that again.
Brian Hartline or Luke Fickell to Gainesville?
I mean, I don't think Luke Fickell would be a bad fit at all. I mean, look, do I think he's leaving Cincinnati with them going to the Big 12? I'd be very surprised. But I think Luke Fickell, when you're looking at those two, again, you know, I'm just so interested to see the route that Scott Strickland takes with the situation that he's in, like I alluded to in the monologue, kind of being stuck between the rock and the hard place. And with everybody else looking, you know, you're not the only one looking for a prom date right now. And everybody's chasing the prettiest person. So will LSU make the move first? Will Florida make the move first? You're going to see a lot of names thrown around. But I think Luke Fickell over Brian Hartline would be one that made more
love
sense.
Love it. We got a question here from Twitter.
Oh, a Twitter question.
All right,
dual threat.
BK Wellicky 22 asks, all right, hashtag Ask Jay Boy says, who's your Heisman favorite right now and why?
You know what I don't understand? If you look at the numbers between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, Bryce Young has better numbers. He's got better
numbers.
But not
on the Vegas odds. Are you,
I'm not talking about his season numbers. I'm talking about season numbers.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's the part that surprised me. Everybody's like, C.J. Stroud is really pulled ahead, you know, in the race. I know what they're thinking. They have the odds there because they think Alabama's going to lose to Georgia, and then C.J. Stroud will have two games probably in the playoff to be able to cement it. You know, at the end of the day, they're having to project like we're having to project. But right now, taking out who they play next or whatever, Bryce Young, to me, would be the favorite. But in my opinion, like FanDuel has, like the Vegas odds say, they're probably going to lose to Georgia. So he'll probably lose out on the chance to cement himself as the Heisman winner. So it doesn't shock me that C.J. Stroud is the odds-on favorite right now. He basically knocked Kenneth Walker out of the race.
I got the odds
himself.
Right now.
Is it minus 220?
C.J. Stroud minus 220, Bryce Young plus 190, and Matt Corral plus 2,500, and Kenneth Walker the third plus 4,000.
So Kenneth Walker dropped behind Matt Corral in the Heisman odds. That just shows you.
Do you think Bryce has outplayed Tua or Mac Jones the last 2 years? Not that it matters much.
To me, it's not fair for me to say, okay, Bryce Young, outdo Mac Jones with Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle,
for sure.
You know, Heaven's Army that you've got out
wide
out there.
It's just kind of funny that if he were to win the Heisman after the season both of those guys had and didn't get one, but I know that's not what matters. It matters who he's competing against this season.
Yeah, and who he has this year.
Matt Corral to me was a shoe-in, okay, about midway through the season, and then I think Auburn kind of ended that.
Yeah, look, once you get down to the end of it, you know, you start running out of opportunities.
Yeah.
And the way it's looking right now, C.J. Stroud's going to have more opportunities than even Bryce Young. Now, look, anything can happen when you have a team that has the personnel that Alabama does. They could sneak around and find a way to beat Georgia. Would I be shocked or knocked off my feet? No, it's Nick Saban in Alabama. But right now, when you look at it and you look at who else is in the Heisman running, this has been somewhat of a down year for the Heisman. I mean, you go back and you can look at who Tua and Mac and all them are going up against. I mean, you had guys throwing up some crazy numbers. It's really been kind of not a stale race, but we've had a decent idea of the two people that are going to kind of rise to the top, and it's C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. But right now, as I look at it right now, I mean, Bryce Young just went out there and threw for like 560 and six touchdowns.
And just like he knocked out Kenneth Walker in the race, maybe my boy Aiden Hutchinson can knock him out this week. Do you hear me?
Look, and we got a special guest coming on for that, but I just want, before we get to five stars, how are you feeling about that?
You want me to go now?
Let me do it when I get my picks, okay? Okay, that's fine.
Because
listen, you write your own story.
Look, hey.
You write your own story.
You just tell me when, and I'm going off, all right?
That's fine.
The fuse is short, but I say we could segue very nicely towards the end.
And maybe for our viewers that are on Twitter that may not have seen about us or known about us, David Cone, former Michigan quarterback. But listen, he calls it like he's more critical on Michigan than anybody is. All right, one more from the Booster Club, and let's get to five stars. I'm going to dive deep in that one.
Question here from the one and only DJ Barber. Ask J-Boy, I know Kirby probably is going to win SEC Coach of the Year, but if Beamer beats Clemson and wins a bowl game getting the 8 wins, how do you not give it to him?
You know, I feel like there should be like your Coach of the Year and then your
most improved
other Coach of the Year. Your maybe newcomer coach. You know, we have like newcomer to the SEC and this, that, and the other. I feel like that's an award they should give.
Rookie of the Year?
Yeah,
Rookie Coach of the Year.
But what Shane Beamer has done at South Carolina, and look, it's all about the juice. Shane Beamer has the juice. Shane Beamer can talk to his players and get them to get up a lot. That's the key. Again, we talk about it, right? You can only get your guys up at an elite level for 3, 4, maybe 5 games if you're lucky a season. Shane Beamer, the personnel he's done this with, you beat Auburn and Florida, you get to bowl eligibility, and then you go win a bowl game. And if he beats Clemson, they may already build the statue. Clemson, I'm watching social media, Clemson's already talking about how bad they've been for so long and this, that, and the other. Because deep down, Clemson's a little worried. And who would have thought? Who would have thought in all the dreams from all the boys and girls around the world that at the end of the season, we would sit in here and be talking about who's having a better year, Clemson or South Carolina?
Man, I'll tell you, I have to give a quick personal shout-out to Coach Beamer. He recruited me at Mississippi State. He was an assistant coach for Sylvester Croom.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just telling you, when you say that the guy can recruit, I mean, I probably would have gone to Mississippi State. It was my first SEC offer. I probably would have gone there if Michigan hadn't offered, like, maybe it was seven, like a week later, right?
Change is a real one.
He was a fantastic guy to work with, to talk to text with. I mean, as someone who's going through it for the first time, like, it's a lot to take in. Coach Beamer, I mean, he's a class act, and I love that he's having success this year. What a big win for him, man.
Huge.
What a big win for
him. Need that helmet, Coach.
And this, yeah, Coach Beamer, we need the South Carolina helmet.
Coach Beam, send it over.
Send it over. You've been on the show. I need one. South Carolina Twitter. Gamecock Twitter, Spurs Up Show. You guys, handle business. Handle business for the kid. All right, let's get to five stars. All right, five stars. Ohio State. And look, I talked about this in the recap a little bit. It's already hard enough playing Ohio State. We already know that they're one of the top 3 to 5 rosters every year in college football. It's been that way for a long time. They have elite speed on the outside. And the matchup against Michigan State, and we talked about this before the game with Steve Hellwagen from Ohio State, and he talked about it. Michigan State has one of the worst secondaries in the country. It's amazing they've won the amount of games that they've had. They have given up what they've given up in the back end. And so your worst position group on defense, I think we can agree for Michigan State, was going up against the best position group on Ohio State's whole team, which is the wide receivers, and that doesn't count Jameson Williams, who's at Alabama. Can you imagine if they had him too?
No, I can't.
It was a horrible matchup for Michigan State, number one, but it wasn't just the receivers that beat Michigan State up. Ohio State did whatever they wanted to and could have put a huge number on Michigan State. I mean, I'll go back to it. Georgia was beating Charleston Southern at halftime by the same amount that Ohio State was beating Michigan State. 49-0. And they jumped them right when they walked in the club.
Yep.
It wasn't like, all right, you know, we got a few drives to fill each other out. Now we know it. They walked in there and Ohio State looked at them and said, listen, no green tees in the club. And they just threw them out. So what a performance. Look, the offensive line that Ohio State has is one of the best that I've seen them have in a while. Athletically, I mean, these guys can get out in space. They move their feet in pass protection. And if you're going to try and beat Georgia, and I will just beat this horse to death, even past its death. And my girlfriend's a horse rider. I'm sorry. That's just the cliche I want to use. You are not going to be able to line up and consistently drive the ball 8 to 12 plays against Georgia's defense and wear them out and score 38. You've got to snipe them. You've got to hit home runs. You've got to hit big plays. And Ohio State has the speed, whether it's Olave, you can go down the list out wide, to be able to threaten Georgia deep to be able to score points. Because you are not going to beat them the old-fashioned way. You're not going to line up and run inside zone or power or counter any of that at them. You've got to beat them with quick strikes. And Ohio State, at the offensive line, that I want to see. You want to talk about matchups? You want to talk about matchups? I want to see that Ohio State offensive line versus that front seven of Georgia. Oh, that will be one of the most fun matchups that I've watched the last 3 to 4 years in college football. Because it's just talent and depth on talent and depth. And you get to see a strength versus a strength and then see how C.J. Stroud does under pressure. He's dominated against the blitz, had 16 touchdowns and one interception against the blitz coming into last week. And you know it didn't go down after last week. So, look, a big win for them. Let's move on to four. Four stars, Shane Beamer. I don't want to spend too much time on this. We've talked about it a lot. Did it again. Outcoached and outplayed Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Went down 14-0, second straight week. Auburn's been up on somebody, collapsed after that. They didn't give up. They didn't hold their head down after losing to Missouri late last week. They came back, did it at home, won another huge game, and that momentum keeps building and building for South Carolina as they go into Clemson.
You see a lot of coaches have their best year, their first year, and fall off after that. You're not going to see that with this guy.
No.
This is just the beginning.
Belief. You can tell South they play with belief.
They play with belief. It's genuine. What do players love Sam Pittman and Kirby Smart and all these guys? They're genuine. You know, they may be a little bit different than you, but you know who they really are. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that goes a long way when you're trying to connect with an 18 to 22-year-old. All right, Cincinnati. Look, I still don't believe Cincinnati's a top four team in the country. I thought SMU had a chance to beat them. Did not know SMU was missing their top two wide receivers. Of course they were. And when you run what they run, SMU, it doesn't matter if your top two wide receivers are out. Wait, now I remember. Sonny Dykes is the head coach. And Cincinnati, look, they slapped them around. SMU turned the ball over early. Cincinnati played really well from the jump, whether it was on defense or offense. Ritter didn't look bad, but SMU picked their worst day to have their worst game, and Cincinnati looked a little bit like they did earlier in the season, and we're going to see. You know me and Blaine's bet. I think they lose either East Carolina or Houston, or I'll go in the trash can. And then if Blaine loses it, he'll go in the trash can. Just please, East Carolina or Houston. I don't want to go in the trash can. And I don't want to put Cincinnati in the playoff. All right? I don't want to do it.
Hey, if they beat Houston like they beat SMU, they're going in.
Listen, I will sit here and capitulate if we're arguing Cincinnati versus two lost teams. But if Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma and then wins the Big 12 championship, how the hell do you keep Oklahoma State out? How? Notre Dame's not going to get in because they didn't play a conference championship game. And you know what? They shouldn't.
Well, and their loss would have been to Cincinnati. So.
Yeah, true.
Oh, you mean unless
you
Cincinnati
can say the same thing about Oklahoma, correct? If Oklahoma wins out?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we look, the committee told us what they think of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They were undefeated and they had them eight. Then they won again. They had them eight again. Then they lost to Baylor, ranked team, dropped them down to 13.
Yep.
That shows you what. But listen, I just can't wait to hear what Gary Barta says tomorrow. He's like, college football, what do you mean?
Don't do that to him.
He always comes out and says something stupid. He's like, setting the games aside.
Setting the games aside.
That's the worst.
That's
yeah. Don't say that.
To Auburn.
Look, we're gonna get Justin Hogenson on here in literally a minute. You let me know when he's ready to ride there, brother. Here's the deal with Auburn, and I don't want to dive too far into it. You don't have a roster that is great in any position group. You don't. You've been winning games because you played complimentary football enough to be able to get you where you need to get to. Bo Nix gets hurt. Carlson gets hurt. No excuse for what we've seen. The play calling, I thought, for Mike Bo, he had his worst game from a play calling standpoint, especially in the second half. You know, defensively, Auburn only gave up 21 points, but still, you know, you saw the way that game went early. Auburn was dominating, and then they kind of fell off late, and not being able to have that killer instinct and be able to put the foot on somebody's throat. And look, Brian Harsin, now you're hearing about the Washington rumors, and there's a good chance he's going to go 6-6 in his first year. And the way they were tracking, I mean, they were 6-2 at one point. You know, it has to be looked at as a failure if you go 6-6, falling off the cliff here at the end. I mean, you blew a 28-3 lead against Mississippi State because your team didn't show up in the second half. You know, we can blame the players all we want, and Auburn's personnel's not great. But at some point, the coach's job is to take you further than you can take yourself, mm-hmm. and Auburn hasn't been getting that. And, you know, if you're not getting that, you're not going to be at Auburn very long. And especially now with the Washington rumors and this, that, and the other, it's just been, look, it's been bad for Auburn. They look bad. You know, they just don't have anybody. I don't know how you don't give the ball to Tank in the second half. I mean, what the hell are you doing?
Fourth and two?
You're running eight a carry. Like, how? Stop. Mike Bobo sometimes gets, I think he outthinks himself.
Yeah.
But if I'm Brian Harsin on the headset, I'm like, dude, give Tank the ball. Give him the ball. You don't have to be Newt Rotney to figure that out. Stop being so cute.
Yeah, Tank Bigsby did not look happy on those sidelines.
And you want to go ahead and piss Auburn fans off even more? Let Tank Bigsby transfer. Because if you keep not giving him the ball, I'd transfer. I'd be gone in a second. And then you're screwed. I'm going, that's the only elite player, really. You could say Bo Nix at moments, you know, has had to carry this Auburn team. Who else you have that's elite? And you don't give your one elite player the ball? That's shocking. That's a veteran. Like, that's what I'm saying. The scary part about Auburn is you have veteran coordinators that are making rookie mistakes. That's what should worry you if you're an Auburn fan. But let me know when Hogenson gets in here, Cody. Right. Let's go back to the Booster Club. Right, let's go. We've got to finish one star. Look, Florida, they've hit rock bottom. I don't know another way to put it. This is rock bottom. This is it. But you're lucky that Miami's not cooking.
Yep.
You're lucky that Florida State's not cooking because it can all be saved. But again, You're in a rock and a hard place when it comes to supply and demand for coaches. So if you're Florida, this is rock bottom. This is it. This is what it feels like. The next step, you know, you just come home and your family's sitting in a circle with a bunch of letters reading, you know, it's intervention time. And they had it with Dan Mullen. You got to get out. You got to go.
Can I throw another one to you that I kind of thought of from the one star? Because I noticed that someone was missing in our chat today. A booster was missing our chat today.
Uh-oh.
And it was Eric from Eugene. What about those Oregon Ducks this weekend?
All right.
38-7.
Listen, and I don't want to sit here and be the guy that says, you know, I told you so. But Oregon, especially when they lost Verdell Jr., you saw some explosiveness leave that offense. Because when you lose a major player like that, you're not just losing that major player. There's a domino effect. Everybody else gets a little bit worse around you because now there's not a decoy out there. Now it moves to the second best guy. The Brown kid at quarterback put a lot more pressure on him to be a whole heck of a lot better than he had to be when Verdell Jr. was out there. And it was a matter of if, not when, Oregon was going to lose. And we talked about it working its way out. Mario Cristobal's still done a really good job there this year. That Ohio State win looks better and better every week. But, you know, you were going to have to beat Utah twice. And now the Pac-12 is out. Next step is we're going to look at the Big 12 with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Are they going to be out? We'll see. What else we got, Mike?
All right, we got a question here from Grant Brown. But first, I'm going to get to Hayden Harris. It's not a question, but it's a comment. First time I saw him in the chat, hashtag AskJayBoy.
Hayden, what's up, man?
He says, not a question, but this show is sick. Keep it up, fellas. Appreciate that, Hayden.
Hayden, appreciate the love,
hold
man.
On. Hey, hit. I love
Hayden,
it.
Hayden, welcome to the party,
all right, we got a question here from Grant Brown, hashtag AskTheJayBoy Show. Which program has a higher trajectory, Mississippi State?
Trajectory? What word did you just attempt to say?
Projection or trajectory? Or
projection. Did you just combine what did I say? Them?
You said trajectory.
Okay, it's
that
Monday.
Sounds like something that's floating in space.
Man, it might watch out for that projectory. Add that to our business cards. We make up words.
It's actually already on
there. Paper on a B.
So Dr. Seuss class. All right. Mississippi State or Ole Miss? Mississippi State has a 28th best recruiting class, while Ole Miss has the 37th.
Listen, this is the part that I found the most fascinating, and I don't know how much longer Lane Kiffin's going to be at Ole Miss, but the part that I find the most fascinating between Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach would be the recruiting. Because, again, you have two larger-than-life characters, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Maybe you don't know this. Lane Kiffin, not in love with recruiting. Not in love with it. Not as much as you would think. Mike Leach, I can already tell you how, and we're trying to get Coach Leach on this week. I think Mike Leach is just probably very upfront with recruiting. You know, he's like, listen, I mean, we're in the position right now. We need better players.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Mike Leach walks in there and he's like, listen, the kid we signed last year is not as good as what we thought, so we think you're better than him. I feel like that's how Mike Leach is. I don't feel like he comes in there with cliche BS. I feel like Mike Leach comes in there and probably doesn't even talk about football for probably the first 20 minutes. He probably looks at the kid, he's probably like, you like Pirates?
Listen, when Blackbeard needed shipmates, right?
Yeah. That's, he comes in
he
and tells him a story about Long John
and then
Silver
45 minutes later.
That's exactly what he's like. You ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean? That Jack Sparrow, they can never catch
they
him.
They can
like
never
you,
catch him. Huh?
Like you out wide. That's why we got to have you Mississippi State.
You know, with talk about Lane doesn't love recruiting, I think indirectly, he's trying to get these younger kids through, like, social media, like, cooler ventures like that to say, like, you know what, I had to go play for this guy, to be a player's coach.
Yeah, he's trying to sprinkle the swag on there.
Yeah,
Listen, and recruiting rankings are one thing. I think they're going to be about even. I think that's what makes the battle beautiful. And I'm very interested to see how long Mike Leach is at Mississippi State, too. But we ready to get Hokanson in here?
Justin Hokanson, we got him right here.
Let's bring in Hoke.
Let's bring him in.
There he is. Hoke, what's up, man?
Not much. How's your day going?
Going good. A lot of crazy news, obviously, with Dan Mullen, being let go at Florida. But we've talked a lot about that. First question, what the hell's going on with Auburn, man? Just your overall thoughts this past weekend. I mean, there's a lot of different things to point at. But they have fallen off the proverbial cliff, and now they're staring 6-6 right in the eyes.
I don't know. I mean, it's very odd. It's been a weird season where, you look at the beginning of the year and Auburn wasn't starting strong, right? They had bad starts against LSU and Georgia State and Penn State. Mm-hmm. Then they started putting it together, started well against Arkansas and Ole Miss and finished those games. Then all of a sudden it goes back the other direction and they can't finish games again, where they have leads against Mississippi State and South Carolina and blow them. So, just odd, just an odd turn of events these last couple of games for Auburn, where they just lose focus or whatever it is. It's hard to pinpoint. I mean, you can pinpoint specific things in each game. I asked Harson today, is there something bigger here, or is it just a matter of every game has its own situation? And he kind of just pointed to, I think he pointed more big picture. The one thing he did mention that I do agree with these last few games for Auburn is they're not playing good complementary football in that when the offense struggles, so is the defense. And he said, look, sometimes he goes, things happen. He said, we got to overcome adversity. We have to respond. If the offense, if the defense gives up a touchdown, offense, you got to go put points on the board. Or defense, you got to force a turnover. It's been like a collapse at the same time for Auburn when the offense is struggling. So is the defense the last few games. And so it's just been those two units are not in sync the last few games.
Yeah, and look, Auburn didn't have the talent on the roster not to play well and play good complementary football. That's how they'd won. If you go back and look, they were playing pretty well. They were taking care of the ball, not turning it over. They were reducing the big plays on defense. But, it's easy to pinpoint stuff in each game. You look at Mississippi State, Derek Mason didn't make adjustments. Second half of South Carolina. I mean, Mike, I don't understand how you don't give Tank Bigsby the ball. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure out he's the best player on your team. And it's the last guy that you want to piss off and end up running off when you don't have a ton of great players on that roster. And look, Brian Harsin needs time. time. Every first-year head coach needs time to get personnel in there, but you're trying to set the standard, you're trying to set the foundation, and then now all of a sudden, starting to hear a little bit Brian Harsin to Washington smoke. Justin, what do you think about that? Is it legitimate? Do you think it's just people kind of reaching?
I think there's some legitimacy to it. I mean, Chris Peterson and him have a great relationship. Chris Peterson's obviously involved at Washington still. And so, yeah, I mean, there's going to be something to that. There's going to be conversations that will probably be had, and there's going to be thought to it. Whether or not Harsin pulled the trigger on that, I don't know. I mean, that's an odd move to go to the SEC. It's your first – if you're Brian Harsin, you're a competitor. You're in the big leagues. To go 1 year and go 6-6 potentially and then bolt back to the West Coast, to the Pac-12 – would go against what Harsin seems to be about and what so much of what Brian Harsin preaches. That wouldn't line up with the competitor that Brian Harsin seems to be. That wouldn't line up to just bolt right back to an irrelevant Pac-12. Could he do it? Here's what I think could happen. If he didn't feel like he has the support of Auburn people, like not fans, but if Allen Green is, and there's powers that be that they're just kind of like, go, stay, we don't care. Then he could go. He could feel unwanted. But if, man, with the facility that they're building, there's a lot of things he has to build on. If he feels the support, I would think he stays. So it's an odd situation. It would kind of surprise me if he left on his own without any other dealings with Auburn football. But we know that's just not ever going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be something going on.
Well, it would look like he's running, basically. And here's my question, Hoke. And you know me, I don't get into this a bunch, but how would it marry up? And I know Chris Peterson is his mentor. Washington State fired Nick Rolovich because he didn't get the vaccine and it's mandated. Brian Harsin, it's obviously been a big deal about the vaccine here in the media and this, that, and the other. How could he get the Washington job right after Washington State fired their head coach for not getting the vaccine? And I don't know if Brian Harsin's been vaccinated or not, but he hadn't come out and said it either way. And I'm sure if he went there, it's kind of a different world, right?
Yes. That would be, wow. I mean, you're right. I don't know. I don't know if he's got the vaccine. The logical thing is to say he doesn't because he didn't talk about it. But what if he does? Like, what if he's just being really
crazy? That's what I'm saying.
And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of the things he's about line up with – here's the weird thing. I think a lot of the things he's about line up well with Auburn and what they want their football program to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's just I think there's an odd dynamic of maybe people in charge that didn't have a say in hiring Brian Harsin. And so – it's just an odd situation with the people in charge, not Brian Harsin. So it's a weird deal. But yeah, as far as the vaccine and stuff, I have no idea. Some people have brought that up, but again, I don't know if he's vaccinated or not, so I can't possibly really answer that question on if he goes there and what that would look like. And
well, I feel like Washington, they'd be like, you have to come out and say you're vaccinated. Like, I swear, to me, it's a little bit different situation than what we deal with, you know, here in Alabama. But, Hoke, I do want to move on and ask you, and you know, we don't root for anybody to get fired or anything here, but do you see Auburn making a move with Mike Bobo or Derek Mason at the end of the year if it looks bad against Bama and they go play in the, you know, the 1-800-Flowers.com Bowl against San Diego State?
Oh,
no, but I got no problem with 1-800-Flowers.com, by the way. It's great stuff.
Possibility. I mean, there's got to be a strong possibility. I wrote at AuburnLive.com, somebody asked that question, should the coordinators be on the hot seat? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely. They've been okay at times, but they have not, by any means, have not been great. And if you're Brian Harsin and you're at Auburn moving forward, this offseason's huge. This is year one to year two. This is your chance to take everything you've learned from year one in the SEC and what it's all about. You go 6-6. That's unacceptable for Brian Harsin. He's never lost three games in a row. He just did it. He could lose four games in a row. This is his opportunity to take everything he's learned in year one in the SEC and go get the staff. Bobo wasn't his first choice. Mason wasn't his first choice. They're fine coaches, but now you've had a season. You go off season. Go try to dial it in with your staff more, taking the information you've learned and go get who you want. And if that's Mason and Bobo, I mean, fine. But I would say that there's definitely going to be some thought given to, are these the right guys or not? That's for sure.
Yeah. And my last question, and Hoke, I know Jay Lee does a lot of the recruiting stuff over there, but big picture question for you. There's been a lot of pressure on Brian Harsin his first year from a recruiting standpoint. Now that on the field hasn't been as great, especially these last few weeks, handful of weekends, how much more pressure is there on him this signing day to make a splash in recruiting and not just be average?
A ton of pressure. Because, I mean, I think that's the big question about Brian Harsin. Is can he recruit and can he hire and fire the right guys? Mm-hmm. Well, we're about to find out those answers here in the coming months, but recruiting mainly. It's huge. I mean, it's what, especially if he loses the season, you know, finishes the season losing four in a row, he better finish strong in whether it's offensive tackles, whether it's wide receivers. He better land some guys and finish in that top 15 and really hit some of the main positions. But yes, this losing streak has put that much more pressure on people are going to go, what are you finishing? They're going to – people that are like maybe mediocre or lukewarm in terms of how they look at recruiting, they're going to be honed in a lot more on how he finishes if they lose four in a row.
Yeah. To take a quote from another realm, you got to win the independence, and you got to do it in recruiting. Ho, great stuff, man. Everybody needs to head over. Tell everybody where they can find your work. I'll let you plug it.
Yeah, auburnlive.com, part of the On3 Sports Network, auburnlive.com. A lot of good stuff. This is a good week to be on the site, right? Iron Bowl, recruiting, basketball's in the Bahamas, and the battle for Atlanta. So busy, busy week for Auburn athletics. A lot of things going on. So auburnlive.com. Thanks, man.
Yeah, anytime. We got Bruce Pearl coming on tomorrow, by the way. Hoke, appreciate awesome. Your brother. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, you got it. See ya.
All right, Justin Hokanson. Look, he's right. I feel like he's 100% on all that.
Yep.
Like, you thought there was pressure in recruiting now? Go 6-6. Lose to get blown out by Bama? And then sign the 40th ranked recruiting class. And there, you talk about hot seat? He'll have to win 8-9 next year, I'm just telling you. Then you got to go on the road to Georgia next year? On the road to Bama next year? Whew. These last 3 or 4 weeks, blown a lot of equity with that staff.
Yeah.
You've blown a lot of equity that you saved up. Now, look, the funny part is, the way the Iron Bowl is, somehow you go beat Bama.
I know. And we're going to get into that.
Yeah. And we'll dive into that. We got Bo Nix coming on later in the week.
It's like the house money thing that we said
that's
with
exactly
Arkansas.
Right.
It's like, man, so many of these teams were playing with house money.
It's
and
like
then
you,
they just didn't leave the table.
You
right?
talk about winning the independence?
gave
you
it
win
all
the Iron
back.
Bowl, you'll win all the independents. Yeah. It'll be a landslide. Yeah. All right, I want to get to our overreaction, underreaction. Then I want to get to sharp bets and the booster club.
Okay.
All right.
You ready to start?
Let's do it. Ready to over or underreact?
Over or underreact to this, okay? Florida is the best open job right now.
That's an overreaction. I told you why LSU, just by a little bit.
Ooh, but what if we think that LSU's already locked up?
Okay, if we say LSU's already locked up, that Florida's the best job, that's a perfect reaction.
Okay.
It's not over-under. If the LSU job was out of the picture, Florida would be the top job. Well, who are you going to give me, Virginia Tech?
So it's the second best job
Well, then you would say USC. That would be the one you compare it to. And if I'm a head coach, again, this goes back to the argument, do I want to sip mimosas on Venice Beach and have an easier path and then get dominated, or do I want to be in the lion's den and find out if I can survive?
Sure.
I want to go to Florida.
All right, so Ohio State right now is the second best team in this country.
I would say under. I don't think it's an overreaction right now just because Alabama struggled to be consistent. We talked about complementary football with Auburn, right? We use that term a lot. For those who don't know what that is, complementary football is when all three phases are playing well together, or you're meshing, or there's not a huge difference between how good you are on one side of the ball and the other, and you kind of are able to coordinate it with both styles that you run offensively, defensively, and then whatever you do on special teams, and that can change up. But Ohio State right now, if you look, they went to zone coverage a little bit earlier in the year. Are they elite defensively, in my opinion? No. Would Alabama be able to put up a lot of points against them? Hell yes. But Ohio State can score with you. They look a little more, you know, coordinated, like I said, on all three phases right now. So just by a small margin, I would say Ohio State, I think that's not an overreaction.
Okay.
To put it
into. How about this? Jordan Davis should be a Heisman finalist.
Underreaction. We shouldn't even be Will Anderson and Jordan Davis should be invited to New York, especially this year. Mm-hmm. Is there a better year for a defensive guy to be able to win it than this year? But we won't. You want to know why? Because we just won't.
Yeah. If Ndamukong Suh didn't win it that year at Nebraska, no defensive player.
Because everybody, win it. There's a lot
Charles
more.
Charles Woodson.
You know, Peyton Manning screwed.
Yeah, Randy Moss and Peyton, I think, took some votes from each other.
Well, look, I just don't – if we're saying – I get quarterback's the most important position. I get it. I understand that. But literally with guys like Jordan Davis and Will Anderson, it changes the way you have to play. The way that they play changes the way the quarterback has to play. We should start being better about how we get to the Heisman
Maybe
finalist.
We'll see it.
Look, who
we'll
knows?
See.
But that's an underreaction. We shouldn't even be having this question. He should be invited to New York. Will Anderson should be invited to New York.
Okay. All right. Brian Harsin's year one is a failure. Is that an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction right now because we got to see what happens in the Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the great redeemer. We'll see. It's his first one. Things get crazy in Jordan-Hare. But if they go 6-6 after starting 6-2, I believe, hell yeah, it's a failure. 6-6 regardless is a failure at Auburn. Now, should you be expected to win the national championship every year at Auburn? No. But 6-6, even in your first year, with the personnel you inherited, you lose to South Carolina. You know, you didn't play well against Penn State.
You almost lost to
every
Georgia
big
State.
Game you've played in against a good team, you lost. What's Auburn's marquee win? You went down and beat LSU? I would say Arkansas, probably Auburn's best win. Arkansas on the road. Now, again, you beat Alabama. Like I said, it's the great redeemer, the great equalizer, but there's not a great chance of that happening. So, yeah, 6-6 is a failure, and it should be looked at as a failure.
All right, here we go. Notre Dame should join a conference. Overreaction, underreaction.
That's all I'm going to say. It's going to cost them this year. It's going to cost them. And the 12-team playoff, y'all can't get a bye. And you know what? You shouldn't.
They might squeak their way in, man. You know how they
look,
are.
If Cincinnati loses, they got a shot. But, look, listen, and I know Notre Dame. There's a lot of smart Notre Dame fans. And I've got no problem really with Notre Dame. But I'm not going to sit here and give you a pass because you're Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the ultimate. You want to see the definition of privilege? Don't play in a conference championship. Well, it's Notre Dame. Leave me. It's Notre Dame, you guys. It's Notre Dame. It's quote Lou Holtz. Why? Because it's Notre Dame. They should join a conference. It was so cool in the ACC last year. Y'all gave it to us and you ripped it away.
Well, it should be the Big Ten.
Gotta be quicker than that. Gotta be quicker than that. And people say, oh, well, their strength of schedule is better when they're independent. Because conference teams play each other. Duh. How do y'all not understand that? How do I got to sit down and explain that to y'all? Like, oh, well, you know, Arkansas went 8-4. Well, they had to play Bama and Georgia and all the teams that play each other in the conference, they beat each other. When you're independent, you don't have a conference. So you're just playing one-off teams in each of these other conferences. When you're in a conference, y'all got to play each other.
Yeah.
Again, you don't have to work at Bletchley Park to be able to decode this thing.
Yeah, and it used to help that Southern Cal was dominant.
Yes.
So they've been riding that wave with Southern Cal being down and Stanford being down. They took themselves out of the Michigan rivalry. I mean, join a conference.
I don't want to hear any complaining. Join a conference. All right, Blaine, Booster Club. Then I want to get to Sharp Bets.
All right, got a question here from Derek Foley. Hashtag ask
it's been down in
J
the basement
boy.
Drinking coffee and doing push-ups all day.
Do you think Alabama still makes the playoffs if they lose to Auburn but beat UGA in the SEC championship game?
No. See, that's a tough one. Now, I don't – look, it depends on what happens around them. If Alabama loses two games and there's a bunch of one-loss teams that are battling it out, Bama's not going to get in. But if they're a bunch of two-loss teams and Alabama loses to Auburn and beat Georgia, Alabama's going to get in. I don't care how it happens. If the argument for the third and fourth – excuse me, or just the fourth team comes down to two-loss teams, Bama's getting in.
What about undefeated Cincinnati?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think you can put a two-loss Alabama team in there over an undefeated Cincinnati team.
Yep, yep.
You're not going to be able to get away with that. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think Alabama's the better team? Yes, but we talked about this. There has to be once you get to two losses, you can't sit there and use that argument anymore.
Exactly.
One loss, you can. Two loss, that's tough. But again, Cincinnati could go undefeated, and then Oklahoma or Oklahoma State could win that game and then lose the conference championship. Ohio State could beat Michigan, or Michigan could beat Ohio State, then lose to Wisconsin in the championship. And now we're having a two-loss argument. They're going to put Bama in.
Yep.
But if it's a one, you could have an undefeated Cincinnati be the three seed and a four-loss, the number four seed be a two-loss team. Mm-hmm. You could legitimately see that.
Yep.
All right, Blaine.
Got a question here from DJ Barber, hashtag AskJBoy. He says, after listening to Harsin's presser, he was asked about playing redshirt freshmen, and he didn't answer it directly. He said, could we see some this week, such as D. Davis, Lee Hunter, or some Dylan Brooks?
I mean, if it's not going to burn their redshirt, again, I'm sure he's going to see how the game is going. If it's not going good, I think there's a possibility you'll see some young guys in there. But if it's close, he's not just going to throw D. Davis in there on 4th-and-2, you know, in an important moment against Alabama. I think the score will dictate that. But if you are down, you might as well get those young guys some reps. you might as well do it to let them understand kind of what it's about a little bit, because game reps are 1,000 times more valuable than practice reps. And I'm not downplaying practice. Y'all know the saying we have on this show: if you make practice more important than the game is easy. But those game reps, that game experience, is stuff you can really keep with you, and that helps you improve at a faster rate, in my opinion.
All right, I got a question here from David Heron, hashtag AskJBoy. He says, special teams question.
Ooh.
All right, he says, thoughts on Arkansas's fake field goal using the back judge as a pick? Also, how much do you like Treylon Burks' increases draft stock against Bama?
First off, I love it now. Was that 100% designed for that ref to pick?
Of course it was.
They may have mentioned it a little bit, but that's not how they drew it.
They put a ref in practice.
It was a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
By the tight end. It was a hell of a catch. Look, I love fakes. Now, the good ones. Now, some of them are stupid. Do you notice how one team runs, LSU runs the jump pass on punt, now everybody's running it?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, at the end of the year, some coaches already know, you know, they're not in championship contention anymore. So, like, we'll run the fake. Now we'll run it. It's always funny to see the end of the year when the teams that aren't really playing for much left, like, yeah, we'll run a fake punt. Penn State was like, screw it. We'll run a fake punt and a fake field goal, same drive.
Don't
ever see it
man.
Coming. You know, it's just funny how that works out. All right, speaking of working out, 28-15 last week.
Is it sharp time?
Ooh.
God, am I bleeding? Did something get cut? Because it's really sharp out here. God, that was a terrible joke. All right, here's what I got. We've been hot. Going to continue to stay hot. Cone came from the depths last week.
Ooh.
Like I said, adversity doesn't build character. It reveals it. You pass with flying colors.
Looking down at all the check marks, and you I was like, Owen, is this my sheet?
You went, yeah, you went Owen Wilson last week.
You did.
Trying to find the beacon on the chair in the middle of the ice.
You win some and you lose some, boys.
Here's what I got. Coastal Carolina's down a quarterback. South Alabama may be down a quarterback as well, but they're plus 15.5 at home. I'm going with the alma mater.
The alma mater pick.
They came through for me last time I took them. Kane Womack, I'm looking at you. Y'all win or lose by 15. I got them plus 15.5 at home against Coastal. Then, I've been riding the Wisconsin train the past 3 weeks. It's hit the past 3 weeks. Wisconsin, Minnesota, over 39.5. Wisconsin's found the run game. Listen, I know some people will be like, man, this looks like a 7-0 game. I feel like Minnesota can score a couple touchdowns, 28-14, somewhere around there. So give me Wisconsin, Minnesota, over 39.5. And then Purdue, they're hosting Northwestern, minus 15.5. I just don't believe in the Northwestern Wildcats. They're more like house cats this year. So give me Purdue, minus 15.5. Quick rundown, USA. I'll tell you something cool about South Alabama really quickly. They have one of the most foreign student populations. You want to know why? Because when you Google USA colleges, it's the first one that pops up.
Wow.
Not a lot of people know that.
That's a
How
deep
about that?
Dive.
The more you know, star in Rainbow. So USA plus 15.5, Wisconsin, Minnesota over 39.5, Purdue minus 15.5 against Northwestern.
Okay.
Feeling good about the Sharps, fellas.
Those are some good ones. What you
I
got?
I love it. Hey, another week in the green,
another
boys. I'm just getting used
green.
To being there at this
the
point.
Salad
right?
chef.
I'm just getting used
okay,
to being
well,
there.
Okay, well, I remember you crying in my arms.
Personal versus the
I remember you crying
mat.
In my arms saying if Billy Napier gets a head coaching
yeah.
offer. Then.
Look, don't even get me started on that. This is what I'm taking, all right? I'm taking the Wake Forest Demon Deacons minus 4.5. Against a Boston College team that just got destroyed.
What can I ask you guys a question really quick?
No.
What's a demon deacon? Is that like a possessed deacon of a church?
Let's go with that.
I've always wondered. It's just such an interesting mascot. It's like, how about we be the Wake Forest Deacons? Then somebody in the back was like, yeah, Greg, what you got any? He's like, sounds kind of soft. What if we were the evil deacons? No, wait.
This voice in the background?
The demon deacons. Alliteration. I love it. Let's do it.
Same thing with Blue Devils. Like,
I'm
we
sorry.
Want to be the Duke Devils, but
yeah.
we should add a modifier.
Yeah, they're like, we
Blue.
Should throw a color in there. How about the Red Devils? They're like, no, that's the name of a vacuum. Blue Devils.
Hey, but if the Red Devils ever played the Blue Devils, that'd be one hell of a game.
Well, the Red Devils suck. See what I did there. Go ahead, buddy.
Wow. All right. I'm taking all right. Yeah, see what you did there.
Appreciate
hey,
it. So
high
Wake
level
Forest,
all the way
thank
around.
You. Wake yeah. Forest, minus 4.5.
4.5 versus Boston College. I believe that game's on the road. I just don't think Boston College can keep up with Wake. Especially on offense, yeah. I see Wake at
Sam
least.
Sam Hartman's a witch.
Yeah, that kid's good. And their head coach might be up for some jobs, too, now.
He's going to – I'm telling you, he's probably going to end up at Virginia Tech.
Okay, so this is my second pick. I've taken Clemson minus 11.5.
Wow.
Versus you like
South
that.
Carolina.
Oh, so Shane Beam,
Clemson
boy, you better
play.
Watch out.
I watched Clemson play last week against Wake Forest. That defense is starting to get healthy. That run game's starting
know.
To evolve. Liv Clemson's going to sneak around.
Is
and
this
probably
game
have
in
a,
Clemson or in Columbia?
I think it
in
is
Columbia.
In – hold on, I have it right here.
11.5?
That game's at home, buddy. Good. South wow. Carolina.
Good. South Carolina coming off a big win. South Carolina coming off a big win. It feels like a big letdown. And this is my third one I'm going to take. I'm taking the Georgia Tech over at 54.5.
Why?
I think Georgia can score more than 54 points.
Well, Notre Dame dropped 55 on them last week.
Notre Dame can drop 55 on you, Georgia for sure can drop it. I feel like Georgia could just show up to this game with their defense and win.
Wow.
Well, they did it earlier in the year. Isn't that what they were doing the first four
all right,
weeks?
Boys.
Isn't that what they did against
yeah.
Clemson?
Yeah, that's
exactly
what
they
did.
What they did against Clemson.
Sharp time. Y'all haven't seen these, right?
No.
I
no.
purposely
you didn't tell
you got cute
secret,
today
secret.
With those.
You brought out the spell book.
Listen, start off Ole Miss plus 1.5. I want them. You hear that, Rob Pittard? I'm showing Ole Miss some love. Riding the lane train. Let's show up. All right. Second, I want Houston minus 32.5 at UConn. Okay, I don't think that they will look ahead to the conference championship. I think they want to make a statement, and then I think they want to say, Cincinnati, we're coming for you.
Look,
could
sign
be wrong,
me up.
But give me that, okay? You took the alma mater pick, didn't you?
I did. What do we got, Kevin?
Listen, boys, I will never come on this show. I will never come on this show and pretend to be unbiased. Okay, this is okay. The most important week of the year. Thanksgiving, mom's birthday.
Wow.
Beat Ohio week.
Wow.
Okay. But I'm also not going to come on here, all right, and not be objective, all right? Things
wait,
could get
wait,
ugly.
Wait. So you're saying things you're not going to be unbiased, but you're also
going to
be objective?
I'm not going to be unbiased, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. We just call a spade spade, right? Okay? But here's the thing, okay? What do I say when making picks? Leave emotion at the door, right? That's one of the rules. But this week I just can't do it, all right? I can't do it. I'm a masochist. Give me Michigan money line.
No way.
I don't even want the points. And you know why? Here's why. Okay, here's
look at
why.
Blaine.
I'll tell
look
you when we get into this.
You're taking Michigan money line?
Michigan
wow.
money line.
Save
and here's
the
why.
Clip.
Hold on. Where's the
hold
on.
Save
hold
the
on.
Clip.
And here's why. Win the game outright or you've won nothing. Win the game or it doesn't mean anything. You have accomplished nothing. There are no more excuses. Okay, there are no more tomorrows. There is no more next year. There is no more we'll get them next season, this and that, okay? The perception around the country is Michigan ducked Ohio last year.
Wow.
Am I wrong?
Wow.
Am I wrong?
I mean, scared, say
wow.
scared.
Am I wrong?
I mean, scared, say scared.
I'm not saying what the reality is. I'm saying the perception is they ducked them.
Okay.
Okay? What's the only way you can come back from that? You gotta take care of business at home.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
And it's at
no.
home.
Okay, I'm not telling people to trail me on this pick. I'm saying I'm taking a money line because you either do it now or you do it never. There are no more tomorrows.
What is Michigan going to have to do to beat Ohio State?
We're going to do the keys to victory,
okay.
right?
Excuse me.
No,
this
yeah,
week,
no,
and
we,
I'm
yeah,
going to beg your brother
do,
to let me jump in on the Michigan
yeah,
keys to
no,
victory
you
this
look,
week.
You got it.
It's, okay, then I'm yeah. going to save that.
Okay.
There's enough fodder to last the week,
oh,
and I've got
is.
A couple texts. We're
we'll
trying to get some guests
Thursday
in.
Thursday or Friday.
So there's going to be plenty on that, and it's going to involve – voodoo dolls and all sorts
yeah.
of stuff
wow.
that they need. They
Joe
need
Boo.
The whole bag.
Joe
okay.
Boo. You got to bring your Joe Boo.
But seriously,
to the set.
It's like we said on Saturday. This game used to mean so much. You know, like they have to show up.
You know,
make
and,
it mean something.
And before we wrap, I do got to ask you one question. If you're watching the game, and we'll be with you on Saturday. Mm-hmm. If you're watching the game and Michigan does beat Ohio State, the last second that clicks off mm-hmm. that.
Blaine was asking me this. Go ahead.
Will you hold your son up like Simba from The Lion King, like in front of the TV?
No.
Like to the gods? Or like,
no.
What, how does
no.
that work out?
Blaine was asking me, what are you going to do if Michigan wins? We're going to wake up tomorrow and we're going to go recruiting. Okay? You have accomplished nothing. No, there is no room to celebrate.
Wow.
You have to do 15 more of these
wow.
in a row. Okay? 20 more of these. All
wow.
right? There's no room to celebrate. There is no rushing the field. There are no goalposts
oh, they're
coming down.
The field
no, they're
will.
Not. No, they're not.
Yeah, they will.
No, they're not. Because I'm going to put out. I'm gonna put out a video this week. If you do luck around and win this game, you will not storm the football field. You know why?
You know why?
You expect to beat them,
yeah.
okay?
There's,
every season.
There's a picture.
And if you beat them, you get ready on Sunday to do it again next year, and then the next year, and then the next year. And for our Ohio State fans in the chat and in the Booster Club, listen, you are the standard. You are the standard. Like that's what I'm saying. You come on here and you got to call spades spades. I'm not unbiased, but you are the standard, okay?
Yeah.
And it's time to beat them. It's time to beat them. We're just they're no
there's
more
just going to be a picture of Cone's face all around Michigan Stadium. If they win, it just says point. It says know the standard.
Don't storm the field.
Wake up and go recruiting.
It's like he's pointing at it. Like it's like know the standard. And the next one, he's like James Bond with a gun. It's like don't storm the field.
Yeah.
Like, so, he's like looking at it like this.
Yeah, it's like I'm definitely not storming the field,
yeah.
guys.
It's should like, I, listen, Cone's 8 foot tall. He could be hiding outside the stadium looking over it right now.
Should I go ahead and put an X on that one or just
no? Look. If it hits, look. If it hits,
I don't even want the 7 points.
There's a lot different than 19.5 point spread, buddy, and 7.5
Well, yeah, and I know
you're
going to get into that when we do our Iron Bowl prep this week. I mean, look, it's the best week of the year, man.
It's here.
You can, like, and that's the thing.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's rivalry week.
Clip that.
Yeah, for sure. That was
beautiful. Clip that one.
I feel
the
like
harmony. Only
perfect.
A brother's heart, like
pitch
the Everly Brothers or something.
Yeah. For sure. But no, great show, guys. Shout out to the Booster Club. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on the Volume YouTube channel. If you joined us on Twitter live today, be expecting a little more of it. We're going to keep coming to you guys live from the Volume Twitter handle. Hit the notification button as well. And like Oregon's chances of making the playoff after this past weekend, until tomorrow, we're going. Gone.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn. Associate producer, Blaine Crane. Audio engineer, Faison Sharif. Executive producers, Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn. Voiceover announcer, Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with The J-Boy Show.
The Volume.